Thanks a lot for sticking around hardcore here. We're down to the near the end, and I appreciate you all coming. I think we have some interesting talks here lined up. I'm going to talk specifically about some work coming out of our Eastern Broccoli, East Coast Broccoli Development Specialty Crop Research Initiative. I emphasize the fact that this is supported by the SCRI, and we have a lot of participants in many states. I think you've probably heard maybe a talk if you've been around from others. I'd like to emphasize here a lot of the data I'm going to talk about today, how an analysis is kind of the idea. Our point person on this is a young guy who works for me, Zach Stanza, who is here but has left. So I'd like to give Zach credit for a lot of thought process about. So we've been working on this project now. We're about ready to start our fifth year of a five-year project. At the outset, we realized before, as we applied for the money, there were key factors that aligned for broccoli as an East Coast crop, and you know, technology breakthroughs, especially that we thought there was new germplasm available to overcome quality limitations we face in the East. Transportation costs have been high and remain high, and this is one of our certainly one thing that works to our advantage. And now this year we've all been hearing about drought in California at very serious levels, and so this also is very key in for a crop like broccoli, which has grown on some shoulder seasons in the valley and could very easily end up not getting water in a year like this year. Consumption of the crop is still increasing, and that's something we particularly want to take advantage of. We'd like to think that maybe we on the East Coast can capture a lot of the new consumption coming on rather than it all automatically going to West Coast producers. And also social factors, the local food interest, life cycle assessment, and these things also now are putting what you might call relatively locally grown material into the forefront. So we've got a pretty extensive trialing system, and we've divided it into three phases. Phase one is our gateway into our system, and this involves 35 to 40 new hybrids per year, and these are contributed by three seed companies and also by three public breeder programs. So we've got quite a bit diversity of material coming into the program as hybrids. There involves two plantings that we call, but we now have four primary test sites, and these are three reps. Primarily, this is quality analysis. Phase two, these then are a little more extensive testing. Top performers from phase one, and it usually ends up being about 15 selected for each year. This involves now five different plantings across an extended season at each of the primary sites. It's a little few more, or another replication, so we are down to four reps. And we do quality testing again, but we also had, at least in two plantings, we're doing nutritional testing, primarily to see the status of our material relative to existing material. And then phase three is on-farm. These are large strip trials. This is where we really put it into, hopefully, a grower's field, and that's when we really start to assess yield and, at the same time, quality. These are a few entries. Typically, we're down to three, usually two selections from our program, and then a control. And just the green circles are the four primary sites, one in Maine, one in New York, one in the mountains of North Carolina, and one in South Carolina. And then we have had a phase three site in Virginia. And then also now we've added phase three in the northern areas of Florida, which primarily produce broccoli in the wintertime. So now I'll just go over. We do quality. Quality characteristics are what we're focused on in phase one and phase two. So this is a list of our traits, and these are deemed all relatively important to some degree as quality factors for broccoli: color, dome shape, head firmness, head uniformity, and smoothness, bead size, bead uniformity, holding ability. That's how long does the head keep a shape through at least some window that might be allow your time for harvest, And then there's an overall quality, which is the most, really the most subjective thing we do, and probably something that will vary a little more from site to site, depending on the raters we're dealing with. But Thomas gave a nice talk yesterday, and if you were there, we've trained all of our raters. We use kind of a scorecard that everyone can carry with them in their notebooks. And it's simple. Every trade is rated on a 1 to 5 scale. So, and we really, in terms of these trials, we do not encourage any like 0.5 stuff. It's all, we tell people, you got to give it a score you see when you first look at the plot. So there's none of that. Now, you know, obviously when you average this out over a lot, you have to get into maybe a decimal point, but we try to encourage so there's not a lot of sort of, you know, splitting hairs, so to speak. And that's what we use to help. This is be a broccoli. If you were out in the field rating, this is going to get a really high score. This is actually a photograph of Green Magic, which is considered has been an industry standard recently. It's got a very nice dome shape, very firm heads, very smooth, uniform beads, all those things. They're going to get a relatively high score and certainly around the 4 range. Maybe some might even go for a 5. And then now this would be something that's, you know, it's certainly marketable, but then maybe the beads uniformity is not quite as good as that previous slide. You know, the dome's mitzvah, maybe not quite as round a dome. And so this would still be in a marketable range, which is something like around 3. If you get an overall score or a score of 3, we're looking at marketable. Maybe slightly below that, you could still be marketable, but that's kind of the range where we're looking at. But then you'd run into something like this, especially because we're tweaking the growing seasons. We're going into the hot weather, a lot of the different sites. And so you're going to run into pretty ugly stuff, too. And so this is going to really get a very low score for a variety of different reasons that we looked at. So, again, the overall quality is subjective rating, likely prone to variation from rater to rater. Was originally a primary criteria for which we looked really close at when we were trying to advance material to phase 2 and then again to phase 3. But it's definitely a little problematic. So we've been really asking the question, why not incorporate all the data that we're getting from a quality standpoint into what I would call a quality index for evaluating heads? And so I'm going to present a little data how we've kind of been going through that thought process, and then could such a quality index minimize variation from rater to rater? So we did there is a way to actually look at if you had different people evaluating the same sites. There are some statistics to actually look at for even like a scoring system like we have to look at the variation among your raters based on the variation within the rater for a whole experiment. So we're using this interclass correlation as a way. And that's the example here is like above. This is an interclass correlation will range from 0 to 1. So a high number towards 1 would be where you've got the raters going in and rating something, and they're all coming pretty close. You know, there's variation there, but they're actually all in the up or down, high or low. You know, it's relative ranking appears to stay the same. But down here you would have an example of a low ICC where you've got, again, these different items that people are rating, and here you see the 4 raters actually are not really close at all. Well, they're all over the map. So that'd be a case where you have really low correlation for the things that you're looking at and rating. So we did an experiment this year. We had used a couple of our what we call our phase 1. These are the entry trials. There were actually 39 genotypes in here. I'm sorry. I was trying to use the mouse. 39 genotypes, 3 reps, and we had 3 raters. Zach Stanzel's been in with the Eastern Broccoli Project from the beginning, so he's very skilled. He's very in tune with how we do things. David Couillard's technician, has been with me a long time. He's actually very good at looking and rating broccoli, but he's used a different scale, so he had to get acquainted with the new scale. And then Sandra Pelk is a postdoc who'd never rated broccoli before in her life, so we had to train her. And so this is just if you take the raw scores, and you can see that, well, the G's are coming up with about the same number of scores. Now, this doesn't tell you how they rated anything individually. And now that was for overall quality, but head uniformity. This is just, if you looked at the raw numbers that they produced out of 39 times 3 reps times 2 trials. And then if you can look at the relative importance, attempts to explain the overall quality in terms of other traits via linear model. And what we ended up finding was that if you try and look at the overall quality, what are the things that really influence it based on the other traits? Which ones are most correlated? And what we found was uniformity of heads, bead uniformity, head shape, and head color are probably consistently among the top for all of these. So there's different ways you could create an index, but what I'd zero in on is relative importance, where actually the factors by which you weight all those different scores is really based on the relative importance that we determine looking at the relative ratings of the individuals that were looking at the trial. So now you actually can use all those numbers and come up with what we call a quality index. So this, if you just look at the numbers for overall quality, this is what we used to do. You see, take something like this one here, where you've got somebody rates it very high and then you've got somebody quite a bit lower. Some of these are quite wide-ranging. Now, really poor ones tend to fall together. So that's for overall quality, and you had an ICC of 0.589. If you now look at this instrument 4, where we're rating using all of our data points and we're giving their relative importance, what you actually see are these things tend to come together. And we have an ICC of 0.713. So we've actually improved the comparisons between our raters so that they're actually looking close. And what we are now trying to do is plug these into what I call stability analysis, so now we have these data points, and what our x-axis is it's the actual average quality rating for a given environment on the x-axis, and the y-axis is the performance of the individual line in that environment. So this, each one of these represents one of the lines in the phase 2, and they've actually been looked at now in 28 different trials. And if you use the stability analysis, what you tend to be looking for is something with a high mean, has a positive intercept, so it's actually responding to an improving environment, and it also has a relatively high intercept, positive intercept, so it's not declining rapidly. So what you find is number 1026 and 1059 actually appear to fit that criteria. And as it turns out, these were two that we actually advanced to phase 3 in our first advancement to phase 3. So they actually, now 1004 is green magic, which it's not too bad, but it's definitely not as good as these two. And now our most recent cohort, the two that stood out were this 1008 and 1063. And I talked to Thomas. We actually did not advance these two, but a lot of now what we run into are logistical problems with the seed supply. And in some cases, the public breeders haven't come up with enough to advance to phase 3. So we have some other issues that come into play. But it looks like we're able now to use all this data collectively, and we sort of have a more powerful tool than just some kind of individual rating, individual points. And I probably used too much time. So I went kind of fast, but I wanted to kind of cover everything.
Question or two for Mark?
If not, thanks again for coming.
Thank you, Mark.
One question quick. Go ahead. Well, it varies a lot, but I think this kind of tool is going to allow us. I think things are more stable than others. Some hybrids definitely appear to have more intrinsic stability in a wide range of environments, and we certainly have a wide range of environments. And so I think we're going to be able to identify some, and those are going to be the ones that really have a wide adaptation to the east. There may be some specifically targeted for limited.
The follow-up question is, have you identified any, besides temperature and sunlight, anything else that affects
Oh, well, there are a lot of things, but we're not specifically trying to zone in on that. We're really looking at the wide adaptation, regardless of the specifics of the environment. I mean, I think we'll learn more about that when we take a particularly hard look at some of these into phase three. If there are limitations, we'll identify those environmental kind of things.
Thank you, Mark.